Now, how could a three-year-old girl, who was the only survivor of a shipwreck nearly 150 years ago, have left a legacy in Ireland? Niamh Hayes has this report on the wreck of the Joseph Sprott.
148 years ago, in February 1871, three ships were wrecked off the coast of the Galley Head in County Cork, two on the same night and one a number of days later. The third ship was called the Joseph Sprott and was sailing from the South China Sea to Liverpool when it got into difficulty in Roscarbery Bay. It had always been thought that all hands were lost. However, in recent times it has surfaced that a young girl of three or four survived the wreck. Gerald Butler, attendant lightkeeper at the Galley Head, tells me about the wrecks that ultimately led to the establishment of the lighthouse.
The Galley Head Lighthouse was established in the year 1878, but that followed a massive tragedy in 1871. Now, go way back in time, back into the 1840s. In 1846, there was a Captain Wolfe in the British Navy. He did a survey of the Irish coast. He suggested or recommended that a lighthouse should be established on Galley Head. This was blocked by Trinity House. It was tried numerous times and it kept failing to go ahead. Then in 1871, in February, there was a double loss of shipping on the same night. And that is that the Crescent City struck the Duleek Rock, which is just off the Galley Head, and spun around and sank on the southeast side of it in 90 feet water. While that was happening, another ship called the Cecil had already foundered in Roscarbery Bay, just a few miles north of the Galley Head. There was nobody lost on the two of those ships. Then, 13 days or thereabouts later, there was a third ship lost on the north side of the Galley Head, in on the Long Strand, called the Joseph Sprott. Now, the story in the Joseph Sprott is that all hands went down with the ship. The Joseph Sprott had sailed from the South China Sea through Manila and came all the way up to come to grief on the Long Strand. She was a composite ship that is made of steel frames with timber planking. So when it started going to pieces, it went down, broke up and went down very, very quickly. And the water was in so much turmoil that nobody could swim. The water would not support the weight of a person. It was so aerated. On board the ship, there was this little girl, and we think her mother and her dad, but we're not sure. The reason we're not sure is that passengers on sailing ships were never recorded.
If all other hands were lost, how did that little girl survive?
A child. This girl was about 3 years of age. A child on a sailing ship had to be tied down. You tied the child to the table, you tied it to the bed, you tied it to a post, you tied it to something, because when the ship would be heaving in the weather, the child would be battered from one side of the cabin to the other. So they tied this child to a clothes trunk, a big chest of clothes. And when the ship broke up and, duly enough, everybody was drowned, but up popped the box with this little girl lashed down on top of it. And it was carried in and washed up onto the beach in the Long Strand.
The little girl Gerald is talking about is Minnie Thornton, and her great-granddaughter, Rowena Riley, visited the Galley Head for the 148th anniversary. She has been uncovering the story about Minnie over the past number of years.
My great-grandmother was about 3 or 4 years old at the time. She was tied to a clothes trunk. She spoke French and she looked Oriental, and she was the only survivor. And people have looked at the surf coming into the Long Strand in a storm, and this was February 1871, and wonder how on earth a small child can survive. And we inherited this story. It came down the family from my father's side. I came to Ireland and started researching the shipwreck, and I did a lot of research into the Joseph Sprott before, because when I went through all the recorded shipwrecks off the coast of Ireland, there was only one that fitted the description, and that was the Joseph Sprott. Even on other coasts, even in other periods, there was still only one. And what's significant about the Joseph Sprott is where it went down was 100 yards from the shore in these turbulent seas, but things were being washed ashore. And that night, there is a gap between the moment they estimate the ship came to grief, hitting the rock, and when the Coast Guard finally came. As far as he could see, there was nobody alive, and therefore there would be nobody to pay him, because at that time the captain had to pay the Coast Guard in order to protect the ship. So there's a mystery period, really, in between the first moment when the ship got into trouble in the fog, in the rain, and the time when the wreck is discovered. And during that time, the wreckers would have been clearing the beach. When I say wreckers, they're not people who cause wrecks, they're simply people who take advantage of what's being washed up on the beach. When I came to Ireland a couple of years ago, that was probably most of what I knew about the wreck of Joseph Sprott. I knew all the crew records, I knew where it would be, and I'd know each point on its journey, and when it had got the sugar and the dye wood and all of those things. But what I didn't know was what had happened here in Ireland. And that's when I met Gerald.
So what happened to Minnie after that night?
Somebody saved her. Somebody local from those houses round about saved her life. And somebody else got her to where she was adopted by somebody called Patrick Thornton. We knew that much, Patrick Thornton. It's on her marriage record when she married later. Because the Patrick Thornton that we discovered, the only one possible, who was married in 1871, who could have adopted her, 29 years old, and a prison warder on Spike Island. So my great-grandmother, who was adopted by them, and then I've been able to trace all his records, he is part of the family that she was writing to in 1923. He's part of that same family, so that's the Patrick Thornton who adopted her. She was brought up for the first part of her life on Spike Island, where there was a school for children. So somebody somewhere referred her to be adopted by them.
And what sort of life did your great-grandmother lead after that? Do you know much about what happened to
her? We
don't
know very much. What we knew was that he was supposed to be a farmer, and certainly we knew that the family she was writing to in 1923, that was a couple of sisters who were farming at Meath. She ran away when she was 14, against the wishes of this family. Presumably Patrick Thornton had died by then. She ran away to London and married somebody called Joseph O'Malley. So they were living in the London slums. But she went on from there, and she married, she became a nurse. She was a very, very practical woman. And her youngest daughter was my grandmother, had 13 children.
And so what is the next step in your research?
Well, the next thing I think in my research is, having discovered as much as I can about the shipwreck, and we have some ideas about how a French-speaking couple might get onto the Joseph Sprott, I think I want to go to Spike Island and look to see what the school records might be for the National School on Spike Island, where they had a very good teacher.
Tell us, Gerald, how did this lead to the establishment of the Galleyhead?
This matter was raised again in the House of Commons, and questions were asked as to why Captain Wolfe's recommendation wasn't adhered to, why something wasn't done about this. So they immediately decided to go ahead and build the lighthouse on the galley. This was in February 1871. By March, they decided to go ahead and do it. And within 3 years, they had the land purchased, and the building contract went to William Martin Murphy.
Niamh Hayes reporting on the story of the Joseph Sprott.